Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this New Year's meditation, an application to our daily faith life, is found recorded in two places. First, from Colossians 3, verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And also from Daniel chapter 22, verses 20 to 22. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His, and He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with Him." So far, sermon text. You may be seated. In Christ Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, dear fellow redeemed, I'm not much into New Year's resolutions. I like to look to the future, but since I don't know what the future holds, I leave that in God's hands. It's maybe one reason why I'm not a very big worrier. But I do like looking back to the past. History is one of my favorite topics or subjects. Reminiscing, ruminating on past events, reflecting on this past year. Sometimes I even want to relive the past, which probably is not very healthy. So New Year's Eve is my kind of night. Night when we take the time to think about the past year. And if we had the kind of brain that seven people in the United States have, I've heard, that they can remember every day of their life, we could remember all 365 days of 2010 and remember what we did in each of them. But even if we can't remember every day, when we look back upon the days that we do remember, what we see is many, 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 many undeserved blessings from our Lord and God. And of course, the top of all those blessings and thanksgivings is our Lord and Savior, who walked with us and blessed us every single one of those 365 days of this past year, 2010. And so, tonight we close out of the old year and welcome a new one in the name of our Savior Jesus. And how do we do that? Our first text tells us, Paul says, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This evening we close out the old year 2010 in the name of Jesus, first of all, with thanksgiving. Our first text this evening clearly tells us that everything we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Imagine if everything we did, if everything we said was done out of a thankful heart and thanksgiving to God, to the glory of His name, how different our life would be. And there would be no more complaining about cleaning our room, making our bed, doing the dishes, picking up after the kids, fixing that leaky faucet, or getting up on Monday morning and going to work. If everything we did were to the glory of God and thanksgiving to the Lord in Jesus Christ, then we would not use God's name in vain when things went wrong, or worry or complain when things went awry. The fundamental principle that ought to control every one of our lives is this: whatever you do or say, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. To do something in the name of Jesus means that we do it in relationship with Him, in harmony with His will, in dependence upon His power, and to His glory. We as Christians do everything in the name of Jesus when our relationship to Christ controls and permeates all our other relationships. Our relationship with our family members, with our friends, with strangers, fellow workers, and with everything else that we do in this world. This is something for us who carry Christ's name as Christians to remember and to strive for more and more in this coming new year. All that we say and all that we do, to do it in thanksgiving to the Lord and praise of His name. Our second text tells us why. It's because it is His story. Our Lord Jesus rules everything. He controls the world. He controls the universe. He controls time. Why does everything continue as it has in the past? Because God's word says so. Why do seasons come and seasons go? Because God controls the world according to His word. Daniel tells us that in our text. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. There's not one person on earth, not all the people in this whole world, that can do anything that God doesn't allow. Now we know that people are sinful, and we all are sinful too. We all do things that are not good. People lead evil lives, bring evil upon other people. But it is only because God, in His inestimable wisdom, allows evil to take place, allows those wicked things to happen. Why? Many, many reasons that we don't know. Two, though, are for the welfare of His believers, for strengthening their faith, causing us, when evil things happen, to turn more and more to His word, repenting of our sins, looking to Him for strength, and as a punishment upon the unbeliever. But at all times, the Lord is calling His children to repentance, to a stronger love and trust and confidence in their Savior and His word. And He's always calling the unrepentant to follow Him, to look to Jesus Christ, believe in His Son, the forgiveness and salvation that He has earned for all of them. Day after day, the Lord continues to write history, His story. For the history of the world unfolds and can only unfold as God allows it to unfold. God writes the script. God directs the script. What a blessed comfort that is for each of us as we look at our lives and at this world. This is not just a bunch of chaos out there. Our lives aren't just empty, meaningless things. There's purpose and meaning to every one of our lives. God's purpose and God's meaning. The year 2011 will unfold just as God has prepared it, planned it, and purposed it. And for the believer, we can be assured that 2011 will be just like 2010. All things will work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And so the Lord has written history. He's been writing it for some 6,000 years now. And He's raised up some pretty powerful and famous people. He's also caused many to fall. He's prospered some great and powerful nations. He's also caused some to be destroyed. He has showered His people with so many bountiful blessings, physically and spiritually as well. God has directed the events of this world in the Old Testament to focus on the ultimate event of all time, the coming of His Son, His life, His death, and His resurrection. And He's directed the other events of the world in the New Testament, the spreading of the gospel message. And so the Lord caused at the fullness of time to send His Son in humility, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. And in the fullness of time, when time shall be no more, His Son will come again to take us, to deliver us from this evil world, to live with Him forever in heaven. It has all been His story. His story of creation, His story of preservation, His story of protection, His story of deliverance, His story of love, His story of forgiveness, His story of redemption, His story of resurrection to everlasting life. Yes, history is His story. Therefore, as we close another chapter of our lives, and as this year passing seeps deeper and deeper into the recesses of our minds, we too should do as Paul declares: give thanks to God in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, and celebrate the end of this old year and look forward to the new with confident trust that 2011 will be another year of His story in Christ Jesus. And so we'll take a few moments now as we conclude this sermon, looking back on the year 2010, and pick up some moments which we may remember, may have forgotten, moments that have caused us to be more patient, more loving, more confident, repenting of our sins, all directed around the Word. So with thanksgiving to our God, in the name of our ruler of history, we look back upon the events of 2010. We look back at the beginning of the year. We began by continuing our Old Testament sermon series by looking at three sermons on the life of King David. On Wednesday evenings, we continued our Bible study on the formula of Concord. In the third week of January, the new church officers, church council, was installed, and our school put on a heritage festival. In February and March, we met on Wednesday evenings to study our Savior's Passion. We asked the question, where in the world is God? In our Lenten devotions. Pastor Mike Eichstead and Pastor Paul Krause took place in our Lenten exchange. In April, we celebrated events that changed the world. Good Friday, Jesus' death. Easter Sunday, His resurrection. And once again, we heard early in the morning at 7 o'clock, our children come before us and proclaim to us, He is risen, He is not here. Look at the place where He lay. The tomb is empty. In May, we celebrated our Savior's ascension. And congregations throughout our synod celebrated the 50th anniversary of our synod, the Church of the Confession. We took pictures of our congregation members and activities, which were then put on posters that were then shown at the convention in June of each of the congregations of our synod. A mystery dinner was held as part of the end of the year fun activity night. Joseph McDonald and Rachel Schazer were examined, confessed their faith, were confirmed, and Luke Schazer graduated from Emmanuel High School. In June, I and Delegate Matt Schazer attended the Great Lakes Pastoral Delegate Conference in Coloma, Michigan. Ms. Ullman's parents' building center was destroyed by a massive fire in Valentine, Nebraska. The CLC at its convention celebrated with pastors, professors, teachers, delegates, members from all around the synod, the 50th anniversary of our synod, with a massive service on Wednesday night. At the end of the month, a wedding shower was held for Becky Gerbitz. In July, BBS flyers were distributed throughout the Milton area. Edward Horish was reborn into the kingdom of God through infant baptism. We received Nate Udy as communicant member by transfer from Messiah Eau Claire. August was a really busy month. At the beginning of the month, our vicar Mark Tiefel arrived for his first few weeks of working together with me. We had the Vacation Bible School under the theme Children of the Heavenly Father. A personal evangelism workshop was held entitled Salt and Light. Peggy Gerbitz and Yosef Haddad were united in holy matrimony in Christ. I received and subsequently returned a call to Prince of Peace, Loveland, Colorado. The Evangelism Committee built a float, a religious float, that then was paraded through the Good Neighbor Day Parade in Middleton. And four of our young members, Sarah Gerberts and Tim and Rachel Shazer and Joseph McDonald, left to attend Emmanuel High School in Eau Claire. In September, Peace of Christ Lutheran School opened its doors for its 10th year with new students, Isabel, Matilda and Omar Bertrang, and Caleb Arndt. Our Sunday school rally day and church picnic were held. We began a Wednesday night PowerPoint summary of each of the chapters of David Lau's book, Out of Necessity, A History of the Church of the Lutheran Confession. I attended the Great Lakes Pastoral Conference in Batavia. Vicar Mark Tiefel concluded his vicaring here with our Mission Festival service, where he preached on Matthew 9, looking back for the future of our mission. A farewell meal was held for him as he returned for his second year of studies in the seminary in Eau Claire. In October, we held our annual bike outing. School was recessed for a few days, and Ms. Ullman attended the ILC Teachers Conference in Mankato, Emmanuel. We received Ann Dumke as communicant member by transfer from Faith of Markazan. A joint information service was held in Messiah in Hill's Corners with the theme, We Are God's Workmanship. In November, our new website with its updates were discussed at our evangelism meeting. Our Thanksgiving worship centered on this thought, things I need to remember about me on this Thanksgiving day. I need the Lord physically. I need the Lord spiritually. I need to remember to give thanks. Also, several members attended a joint fellowship evangelism workshop on the topic of personal evangelism in Messiah of Eau Claire. And this past month in December, we began the month with Advent devotions centered around this thought, reactions to Jesus' birth. A Sunday morning worship service was canceled for the first time in many, many years because of a large snowfall. Prayers of the congregation ascended to heaven on behalf of our dear brother in Christ, Steve Schmidt, who was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. We went caroling to Oak Park Place, to Walnut Grove, and the Riggerts. And our children told us the good news of Jesus' birth, out of darkness, light. I also accepted the call to be the vacancy pastor to Batavia, Ascension Batavia. And last Sunday, several men of our congregation read some prophecies and then fulfillments of our Savior's birth. That's just a short list. And I beg your indulgence if I've missed anything that was really important in your life in our congregation. Don't have that kind of brain that remembers everything. A short list of the activities and events of 2010, his story in Christ, of his congregation of believers here at Peace Through Christ in Middleton. And much more could have been said. For the Lord's mercies are new every morning. Those mercies and grace are immeasurable. But in this brief list, it shows to us that the Lord indeed was ruling and reigning in 2010 with his love and his mercy, guiding, protecting, providing, preserving us as his own. As Daniel says in our text, he gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. Every week we heard the word of God, which revealed that wisdom, that heavenly wisdom to us, and also revealed the deep secrets of our salvation. Every day at school, our children heard and learned about the light of the world, our Savior, and all that he has done for us. Let us give thanks tonight. And also tonight, as the old year passes away and the new year begins, may each of us take the time to look back upon our own personal lives, our own family lives, and give thanks to God for all the many blessings he showered upon each of us in his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we think of these things, we can only come to the conclusion that there's one who stands out throughout every one of our blessings. Our Savior Jesus, who lived and died for us and daily keeps us in His saving grace. Well, give thanks unto the Lord for His story, 2010. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.